Welcome to Torah Simecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Nuntes, Chapter 59. This chapter resolves a quandary that we will all find familiar. According to most commentaries, the entire chapter is an answer to an implied question that almost every seeking, thinking person has asked at some point in their lives. And that is, where is Hashem? His justice and promises, so clearly described in the Navi, don't seem obvious in the world in which we live. According to Radak, Hashem is further addressing the question asked in the last chapter in verse 3, why am I fasting and you do not see? Meaning, I think I'm doing what you want and I don't seem to be getting the desired results. This is really a micro-formulation of the same question. We all do some, if not many, good deeds, and we want to see Hashem's response, but sometimes we don't. If we are going to ask why, we better be ready for the answer. This will not be a comfortable chapter for us. Hashem is explaining why we don't see his presence in our lives. Are we up for knowing the truth? First, the Navi will explain what is not the cause of concealment. Lo katzra yad Hashem mehoshia. No, Hashem's arm is not too short to save. V'lo chavda ozno mishmoa. Nor is his ear too heavy to hear. The deficiency is definitely not in him. It is not because he can't save us, nor is it because he can't hear our cries for help. Ki im avanoseichem hayu mavdilin binchem levein elokeichem. But your iniquities are a barrier between you and your God. V'chatoseichem hisiru fanim mikem mishmoa. And your sins have hidden his face from hearing you. God's presence is infinite and constant. It is never that he changes, but we do. And thus does our connection to him. Again here the Navi references the concept of Hester Panim, of Hashem hiding his face. Hashem is pure goodness, but there are times that his face is hidden due to our actions, and that is what brings destruction to the world. Ki chapechem nigo'alu v'adam, because your palms are stained with blood, ve'etzpa osechem ve'avon, and your fingers are stained with iniquity. Sifsosechem divru sheker, your lips speak falsehood. Lishonchem avla tege, your tongue utters treachery. We want to know why Hashem is hiding his face, as if we are asking how or why he isn't paying attention. Why isn't he looking in our direction? The Navi is giving us a reality check. Hashem can't look at any part of us because each body part is stained with sin. This imagery is seen often in the later prophets and in the sages and liturgy. In the positive sense, Hashem gives us different body parts, each to sanctify by using them to do good and fulfill his commandments. But for everything that Hashem created for the good, he created the same potential to use it for evil. And therefore, we can choose to use all those limbs designated for holiness for sin instead. We are asking why he doesn't see the actions we perceive as worthy of reward. Those same actions are done with means that have been used for such evil that Hashem has removed his gaze from them. The logical conclusion is the previous verse. A barrier has been created between us and our Creator. He created us and gave us tools to come close to him, but we have been using those tools for the exact opposite. Yeshayahu also calls out the leaders for not steering the people back on the proper path and not judging them properly. He compares the evil in their lives, in the lives of the people, to snakes and their eggs and to spider webs. Evil is like a snake because any connection to it at all will result in harm, like going close to a live snake or eating its eggs. And the way that evil makes inroads is the way a venomous snake in an egg comes out. It repeatedly strikes the shell until it finally breaks through. So too do evil thoughts repeatedly attack us until we finally break and commit sin. Evil is also like a spider web, because it looks so impressive and strong and ornate. But anyone with any experience or objectivity at all knows that a spider web is easy to dissolve and it has no power to protect us. But unfortunately, we fall for the shiny eggs and the ornate webs. And verse 7, Raglehem la'ra yarutsu, their feet run after evil. This brings to mind one of the list of sins that we recall when striking our chests on Yom Kippur. Ritzas raglayim lahara, the running of feet to evil. The commentaries explain that Hashem judges us not only for the sin itself, but the manner in which we do it. If we try to refrain and finally cave into our desire that is not positive, but it is seen with compassion, worthy of punishment, but mitigated. Someone who seizes the opportunity and runs to sin sins on a different level. In this case, compassion is almost inconceivable. In the case described here in the Navi, the Jewish people have become so accustomed to fulfilling their desires that when the opportunity comes to sin, they run without even considering whether or not their actions are correct. Rav Dessler in Michtav Me'Eliyahu points out that someone who is used to constantly fulfilling his desires does not believe that he even has a choice. He becomes so used to following instinct that he comes to believe that the desire actually rules over him. But as Rav Dessler points out, this man doesn't believe elevation is possible only because he has never chosen that path and therefore has never experienced it as a real possibility. And therefore, verse 8, Derech Shalom lo yada'u, they don't know the way of peace. Ve'en mishpat ma'aglo sam, there is no justice in their circuits. They have made it so they don't even encounter positivity and reality. Nesivo seyem ikshu lahem, they made their courses crooked. Kol dorech ba lo yada shalom, no one who walks in them cares for peace or integrity. And finally, we come to recognize, Al kein rachak mishpat mimenu, this is why justice is so distant from us. V'lo sasigenu tzedaka, and vindication does not reach us. We want Hashem to punish the evil nations that plot against us and oppress us. And we are not wrong. They have persecuted us and perpetrated evil, and they deserve retribution. But do we behave with the same justice in our own lives? What right do we have to call on God for justice when we are not willing to do the same? Nikava la'or v'hine choshech. We hope for light and there is darkness. Lin hogos ba'afelos nehalech. For brightness, but we walk in deep darkness. We are devastated by the unjust world and the exile in which we live, but we fail to shine the same light on our own behavior. Ne'emech hadubim kulanu v'chayonim hagonegeh. We growl like bears, and then we moan like doves. We growled in the past, demanding that Hashem do justice with those who harmed us. And then we ended moaning like doves when we realized that it was our own actions that caused this because we were undeserving. Here the Jewish people, in detail and poetically, describe how their sins have become plentiful and pushed Hashem away. Their fooling and cheating others demonstrates that they don't believe that Hashem really knows what's going on and that he doesn't have the power to return what is right to each party. Horu v'hogu milev divrei shaker, conceiving lies and uttering them with the throat. That which they spoke and uttered did not come from logic or belief, but from the heart, meaning they decided what they wanted and used their logic and intelligence to justify it. They had desires, there were things that they wanted to acquire, and even if it was stealing, even if it didn't belong to them, they justified it so that they could get what they wanted. And therefore, the husag achor mishpat utzdaka merachok ta'amod, and so redress is turned back and vindication stays afar. The redress against others that we demand from Hashem is far away because of our own actions. Ki chashla v'rachov emes, because honesty stumbles in the street. We have gotten to the point when truth is not even acknowledged in public, when society is so immoral and ridicules real values. It is the honest good people who are put on the defensive and need to be silent in order not to incur mockery and wrath. We are demanding a just world, but we have created a world in which not only is there a lack of justice, but justice isn't even on the radar. Someone who is just is the one that is ridiculed. Unechocha lo sucha lavo, and uprightness cannot even enter into street, into the society. Society will not even allow an upright viewpoint into the mix. It is dismissed as offensive and as strange. Vatehi ha'emes ne'ederes, truth became lacking. Visar mira mishtolel, and refraining from evil seemed foolish. Vayar Hashem ve'ira be'inav ki'in mishpat. Then Hashem saw and was displeased because there is no justice. Hashem sees a society we see a society that has deteriorated to the point that people not only feel comfortable sinning to fulfill their desires, which was true throughout history, but now as a point of doctrine. As the Navi says, they build their logic around their desires and make new morals that bolster their errant deeds. This has become so pervasive that those speaking truth that used to be completely obvious are ridiculed. It is now no longer just physically expedient to sin in order to fulfill desires and get things that you want, but societally, it is perversely morally expedient to sin as well, because that is what society now deems as correct. We asked why we are suffering, and now we know. But now that we have recognized that it is wrong, Hashem wants to bring us back to Him. But, verse 16, Vayar ki ein ish, he saw that there was no man, Vayishtomim ki ein mavgia, and he was shocked because there was no one intervene. Hashem wants to bring us back to Him, but He doesn't have within us those who can lead us and bring the Jewish people to a place that they will deserve the help that they so desire. And then, because He couldn't find leaders that would return the people and would improve their actions, His own arm brought salvation, and His own righteousness was His support. Hashem will bring the salvation undeserved. He will take retribution on the nations of the world with havoc and destruction, and He will gather us all to the land of Israel from all directions. And then, Uvalet Zion Goel, a Redeemer will come to Zion, the Mashiach, Uleshave Fesha B'Yaakov, those in Yaakov, those in Jacob, who turn back from sin, to those in Jacob, in Bnei Israel, who return from sin, so says Hashem. Many commentaries point out that the sequence of events here seems out of order. The verse clearly describes the retribution against the nations of the world that we don't deserve, but that Hashem will bring anyway, and the ingathering of the exiles, and then continues by saying, Uval Etzion Goel, and then Mashiach will come. The commentaries explain that this is actually likely the way that history will unfold. Hashem will begin to cause destruction among the nations of the world by turning them against each other, and they will exact punishment and destruction upon each other. This retribution that Hashem meets out to them will be there for the purpose of showing us the hand of God in order that we have the opportunity to repent and somewhat deserve the coming of Mashiach. Many, if not most, of the Jewish people will return to their land even before the redemption comes, because the nations of the world will still have sovereignty over us, and we will even suffer attacks from them. This will cause despair, as the Jewish people will wonder why, after returning us to our land, God has deserted us again. And at that time, which seems undeniably familiar to ours, Hashem says, Va'ani zos brisi osam amar Hashem. And as for me, this is my covenant with them. Ruchi asher alecha udvarai asher samti beficha. My spirit which is upon you, and the words which I have placed in your mouth, lo yamushu mipicha umipizaracha umipizera zaracha amar Hashem mi'ata vi'ad olam, shall not be absent from your mouth, nor for the mouth of your children, nor for the mouth of your children's children, says Hashem, from now and forever. Our covenant with Hashem, both that the Torah will never be forgotten, and that the physical Redeemer, referenced in the last verse, will come, is eternal, even when things seem bleak and the exile has been so long. Our hopes have been aroused and crushed, but my covenant with you is eternal and will always survive, and we will be redeemed. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Neshmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.